Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park, joined by producer Nate Vaughn, who is guiding the ship. Lots to get to in today's show. The Vikings right in the midst of the preseason. A five-game preseason schedule for the Vikings this year. Three down and two to go. Vikings opened up the preseason with the victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers in Canton, Ohio. Came back the next week, hosted the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, won that game. And then last weekend hosted the Oakland Raiders and won that game as well. The next game comes on Saturday against the Dallas Cowboys. But before we get to talking about that, let's look back and rehash what happened last Saturday night at home against the Oakland Raiders. Now, you heard Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer at the top of the show, not that enthralled with winning or losing preseason games and the fact that he is undefeated as Vikings head coach in the preseason and 3-0 this year in the preseason. He cares more about what happens within the games than the outcome of the game. And I'm not going to disagree with the head coach. That's a bad idea. You don't disagree with the head coach. But I will say there's something to be said for building a winning culture, for teaching a young team how to win. You never apologize for winning, and the Vikings have done a lot of winning so far in the preseason. Seven wins under Mike Zimmer, three this year in the preseason, and again, with a young team, with a head coach in his second year, still installing his program and still building an identity, I don't think you apologize at all for winning those games. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have a great regular season if you have a successful preseason from the win-loss perspective, but it doesn't hurt either, and there's nothing wrong with winning games and walking into the locker room, off the field after a game, having won it. I think that's good for your team. Now, another thing that I think you can derive value from, and the Vikings had the opportunity to do so on Saturday against Oakland, is getting thrown off your schedule, getting thrown off your routine, and still being able to perform and get the job done. That's what the Vikings did on Saturday night against the Raiders, because there was a 51-minute weather delay as an intense rain, wind, and thunderstorm rolled through the Twin Cities right as the game was about to kick off. The weather delay didn't happen until the second quarter. However, the teams were forced off the field during pregame warmups into the locker room, finally allowed back on about 30 minutes in front of the game, started the game, and then in the second quarter, the 51-minute weather delay struck. So there you have both teams, but talking about the Vikings specifically, having to be thrown off of their routine, adjust on the fly, and still find a way to get the job done. And I think that's good for a team as well. And for the Vikings, they're going to get thrown off a normal routine right out of the gates this regular season. A Monday night game on the road to open the season, the second half of a doubleheader, a game that starts late here in the central time zone. The Vikings will fly home after playing San Francisco. The sun will be rising when they land, and then you have to turn around quickly and play the Detroit Lions 5.5 days later at home, a division game at home. And so there you go, right off the bat, you're out of your routine. So I think it's good for the team to go through some of that adversity and learn how to perform once they're thrown off of their routine. From the game specifically, a few takeaways. How about Matt Asiata and Marcus Sherrills? Guys who are perennially, it seems, quote-unquote, on the bubble, yet every single year they continue to make plays to help this team win, and you just can't cut them. And they did so again on Saturday night against the Raiders. Here's what Marcus Sherrills did.
Marcus Sherrills to the left side, to the 15, to the 20, 25, 30. Tavecchio slows him at the 37. And Sherrills runs out of bounds at the 40-yard line. It's a 45-yard return by Marcus Sherrills.
So a big explosive kickoff return from Marcus Sherrills, who is our starting punt returner, but there he does it on a kickoff return. So 49 yards on a kickoff return. We know he's a solid punt returner. Sherrills also downed a punt, a Jeff Locke punt, on the 2-yard line, backing the Oakland Raiders offense up against a wall. They go quickly and have to punt, and gives our offense good field position. So Marcus Sherrills helping the team win in a variety of different ways, which he's been doing every step of the way of his pro career. Matt Asiata, a guy who last year was one of our bell cows carrying the ball once Adrian Peterson went down. So you know you can ask him to do that. He's also a great special teams contributor, but on Saturday night, he caught a few passes and making guys miss. And you look at Matt Asiata, and it's not a guy that you think can shake and bake and make the first defender miss, but that's what he did. So Matt Asiata continues to help this team win in a variety of ways. Another guy that's really hard to cut. So I'm not saying that the Vikings are going to or will not cut either one of these guys, Matt Asiata or Marcus Sherrills. All I'm saying is when you're making those types of decisions as the GM or the coach, what you love is the tough decisions. You love to have tough decisions because that means you have depth. Matt Asiata and Marcus Sherrills add depth to the areas of the team that they help, which for Matt Asiata, that's at running back and on special teams. And for Marcus Sherrills, that's as a defensive back, but more notably on special teams as well, both as a gunner on the punt team, as a backup kickoff returner, and as the punt returner. So love seeing those two guys play well. They're very easy guys to root for. A couple more points to go here on this Raiders game before we look ahead to what's on the Vikings schedule in this Dallas Cowboys preseason game. How about the kicking game? Both the punting and the kicking game. We'll start with Blair Walsh, who had a few misses on Saturday night. And of course, there's been a lot of talk about that. And my perspective on it is you hate seeing the misses, the extra points, the field goals. You never want to see that. And it's perplexing, really, to see it from Blair, a guy who was a Pro Bowl kicker as a rookie in 2012, started his career 12 of 12 from 50 plus, is the Vikings franchise record holder in field goals of 50 or more yards and in touchbacks on kickoff. So this is a guy who's been completely solid for us. So it's weird to see him have those misses. He didn't use anything as an excuse. He didn't use the delay as an excuse. He didn't use the weather as an excuse. He addressed reporters in the locker room after the game and said, hey, Oakland's guys made their kicks. I should have made mine too. This can't happen. So you love to see that kind of accountability. And it's not panic time on Blair Walsh. It's time to fix some mistakes. And Mike Prefer has shown that he can do that. Blair Walsh had some struggles as a senior at the University of Georgia. The Vikings drafted him. Mike Prefer said he identified a few areas where he could help Blair Walsh. And then voila, Blair Walsh is a Pro Bowler as a rookie. So obviously Mike Prefer and Blair Walsh have demonstrated an ability to diagnose problems and fix them. And that's what I think they're going to do off of Saturday night's performance. But a guy who did demonstrate some improvement on Saturday night, Jeff Locke, two solid games in a row now for Jeff Locke. He had three punts downed inside the 20 on Saturday night against the Oakland Raiders, one of which was downed by Sherrills at the two. That gives Jeff Locke nine punts downed inside the 20 in three preseason games. An outstanding clip there for Jeff Locke, doing what you want your punter to do, pin the opposing team deep in their own territory, give your punt coverage team time to get down the field and make tackles or down punts without returns. No return yards allowed by Jeff Locke and the punt group on Saturday night. So love seeing him play the way he did. The last point from the Vikings-Raiders preseason game, it seems like a new young linebacker emerges every game for the Vikings. And it happened again against the Raiders. And I thought two of them in particular stood out to me. Brian Peters is the first one. He got yet another interception. Now remember, Brian Peters, a CFL standout as a safety here with the Vikings transitioning to linebacker, but obviously with two interceptions now, he's using those skills he had as a safety to help him out as a linebacker, and he can make plays like this.
McGloin goes back to pass, hit as he throws, intercepted at the 22-yard line, and coming near side is Brian Peters, dragging Raiders inside the five, out of bounds at the one. Saskatchewan, go crazy.
Well, I'm sure they're getting rowdy north of the border. Peters almost got that into the end zone. The pylon goes down, but this is just pressure up front. Quarterback's on him, gets hit, and Peters is in the right spot, getting up after making the interception and carrying some guys a few yards down. And oh, nope, just came up short. So just Peters floating back, and that's just a situation where he's in the right place at the right time, and he needs to go to his defensive lineman and thank him, because they got the pressure on the QB, caused a short throw. So that's D-line working with the linebackers. But it's great to see guys like Peters who, you know, have a long road to get into the NFL to come out and make big plays.
The second young linebacker I want to quickly mention before we move on is Edmund Robinson, a draft pick of the Vikings out of a small school called Newberry College, which rarely sends players to the NFL, but ironically, the Vikings have two players from Newberry College on the roster. Brandon Bostic, a tight end, was out of Newberry, and Edmund Robinson is out of Newberry, but he's a guy who flashed a little bit on Saturday night. Edmund Robinson had a tackle for loss in the game against the Raiders. Love this guy's size and speed. When you see him in person, it impresses you that he has that kind of combination, a great athlete. He's making plays, and he's impressing coaches. Here's Mike Zimmer.
You know, he keeps getting better every day. He is a guy that really played a completely different position in college, and so I think he's improving. He's got the size and the speed and the things we like. So maybe similar to Hodges. When Hodges came out in college, I wasn't with him when he got here, but he played a very similar position back in college, so it takes a little while.
So that's the sound and a few of my thoughts from the Vikings' victory over the Oakland Raiders last Saturday night. Up next, Nate Vaughn, a preseason bout against the Dallas Cowboys.
That's right, Wobby, and I have a few questions that I'm going to pose to you about that matchup.
Okay.
The first about that linebacker position, more specifically the middle linebacker position. Mm-hmm. We heard a little bit from Coach Zimmer the other day talking about how he and the coaching staff had studied what all the linebackers had done up to this point.
Right. Yeah, he said that he and some of the scouts and Rick Spielman sat down and watched tape of everyone who's played middle linebacker in the preseason. I would imagine they also watched some practice tape, and he said they kind of got on the same page, figured out a plan of what they want to do for the rest of the preseason. And then since then, Mike Zimmer has spoken with reporters, and he said it looks like Gerald Hodges may get the start at middle linebacker in the base defense in Dallas. And then when they go to the sub packages, they switch the linebackers out, and it's Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks who are playing linebacker and nickel. So you can kind of see it unfolding here as the preseason progresses. Obviously, the third preseason game is the dress rehearsal, quote unquote, for the regular season. So I think what the plan is for that third preseason game is telling of what the team may do in week one, but you never know. They can always change their mind, but it's just been an interesting position to watch and see how it unfolds so far.
What would you say some of the advantages there are to starting some of these different guys? If you have Hodges, if you have Audie Cole, if you have Eric Kendricks, any of these guys at middle linebacker, what can each of those guys present?
I love Hodges' athleticism. So when you talk about a guy who can play in the middle, not only is he a physical player who's not afraid to mix it up, which you want out of a middle linebacker, but he can go sideline to sideline because of that athleticism. So I like that. I like having Greenway out there in base defense because he's a heady player. He understands Mike Zimmer's defense. This is his second season as a starter in there, so he can make the calls. Of course, you love Anthony Barr. You saw how he impacted games last year as a rookie. I love that in a sub package when you're dealing with multiple receiver sets, 3-4 wide receiver sets, and athletic tight ends who are split out wide and shifty running backs who are coming out of the backfield. I love the synergy that you may have between Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr because they play with each other in college. So if that is indeed the nickel linebacker combination, I think the fact that they've already played with each other before in college is could be a positive. It's a different ballgame here in the NFL, and they're playing in a different defense. I get that, but there's something to be said for familiarity with a teammate, especially in the same position. So I think it's an eclectic group of linebackers. I mean, Greenway is the veteran who's been here for a long time, and he's getting long in the tooth or whatever, but he's still got game. I mean, that's why he's still here. Mike Zimmer doesn't keep guys around for charity. I mean, Mike Zimmer keeps good football players. He decided to keep Chad Greenway. So you love having him back. I think, you know, a guy we haven't mentioned yet is Audie Cole. I think he brings some value. He's a guy who can play Mike linebacker, but he's also played on the outside throughout his Vikings career. He's a guy that if you run into a pinch and you have a starter go down, you know that you can throw Audie Cole in there and he's going to get a bunch of tackles for you. But, you know, and then after that, it's just a bunch of really athletic guys who are dynamic and who can do a lot of different things, and you can mix and match, and they're interchangeable. And I think when you have a bunch of athletic, interchangeable players for a coach like Mike Zimmer, who likes to do so many different things, I think that's a good combination.
So lots of different combinations on that middle level of the defense, I think, gives Vikings fans a reason to be excited about the linebacking core.
Yep.
Another core that Mike Zimmer is probably known most for is the defensive back core, specifically cornerbacks. And we've seen them experiment a lot with a lot of different sets of cornerbacks, a lot of different defensive sets with different personnel in there. You talk about Trey Waynes, Captain Munnerlin, Terrence Newman, and of course you've got Xavier Rhodes there, kind of don't really need to worry so much about him.
Right.
What could you say about the different combinations of cornerbacks and what we're kind of seeing right now?
Yeah, it's hard to chart. I mean, Xavier has played exclusively on the outside, but if you like, of the guys that I can remember at some point in the offseason, training camp, or preseason playing in the slot, I mean, the list is long. I mean, Terrence Newman did it against the Oakland Raiders. Of course, Captain Munnerlyn is in there a bunch. He was last season, and he has been this offseason in training camp. They put Trey Waynes in there, even as a rookie. Jabari Price has been training in there. And Sean Prater, who's listed right now as a safety, a converted corner who's now a safety, I've seen him playing inside. So, yeah, you have a long list of guys that they've worked in there inside as a nickel corner, and guys that they've also worked outside as an outside corner. And then we haven't even seen Josh Robinson yet this year because he's been unable to participate in practice. And so when he comes back, he's another guy who's played both inside and outside. Started as an outside corner. The Vikings moved him into inside to play nickel and then moved him back outside. Then he got hurt and we haven't seen him yet. So he's another guy who's played both inside and outside. So just as we talked about with the linebackers, there's a bunch of versatile corners that you can do a lot of different things with too. Unfortunately, you can't keep all of them. I mean, what are they going to keep? Five cornerbacks? Four, five, six cornerbacks, something like that. And there's way more than that on the roster right now. And so, unfortunately, you may have to let a good player go. You hate having to do that. It's a good problem to have because it means you have depth, but you hate losing good players off your team. And I think the Vikings are, there's going to be a good corner who they can't keep. I mean, Josh Thomas, who can play in this league, had an interception in the fourth quarter of the Raiders preseason game. I mean, he's a guy that if he's out on your field, that's not an embarrassment at all. He's a solid player, and he's playing in the fourth quarter of the second preseason game. So I think that speaks a little bit to the Vikings' depth at corner.
You talk about depth and versatility, also things you want on the defensive line.
Yeah.
You want to keep that pass rush going, and you want to be able to stop the run at its first contact. You talk about the top two guys at defensive end. It's pretty easy to say would be Brian Robinson and Everson Griffin.
Set in stone as the starters.
You also have seen some positive things out of Danielle Hunter, the third-round draft pick, so you have to assume he's going to be in the mix there too. Are there any other names that are in the mix there for that third or fourth defensive end spot to kind of bring into that rotation?
Well, something good happened to me today, Nate. I was on the sideline at Vikings practice, and I was talking, and I gave an opinion, and Ben Lieber, who was there, former Vikings linebacker, current Vikings sideline preseason broadcast analyst, Ben Lieber, a guy I respect, a guy we all like, he agreed with my opinion. So that's good.
That's big?
Yeah, that's a good thing. That means I'm on the right track. This was my opinion. I said, here's the thing about the third defensive end or the Vikings defensive end depth right now. I think that Danielle Hunter is a lock to make the team, a third round pick who's done some good things. So he's a lock to make the team, but I don't think he's the third defensive end. I think whoever it is that becomes the third defensive end right now is not a lock to make the team. He still has to earn it. Yet when that player does earn it, he'll be ahead of Hunter on the depth chart. So that's where we are with Danielle Hunter. Young, raw, athletic player who I think will be a starter for this team at some point in his career, just not yet. Love that he's here. And while he's developing as a DN, he's going to help on special teams. But the third DN spot, I think you look at Scott Crichton as a guy who can compete for that. I think you look at Justin Tratto as a guy who can compete with that. And it would be great to see one of those two guys jump up against the Cowboys and grab that third defensive end spot. We know Mike Zimmer wants a rotation along the defensive line, particularly at defensive end, where you hope to be pinning your ears back and rushing the passer late in games because you have a lead, so you want fresh bodies, fresh legs. And then if you keep guys fresh during all your games, by definition, you're going to keep guys fresh throughout the season. So when you get to the end of the season and some of those offensive linemen that you're playing are wearing down, you got a bunch of DNs who are fresh. So hopefully one of those guys can jump up and grab that third defensive end spot. Scott Crichton has missed a couple of the preseason games because of an injury, but he's back now and practicing. So hopefully he can get back into it and hear Justin Tratow. Justin Tratow, by the way, has won a Super Bowl, the New York Giants. So, you got some guys who they got a little juice, and hopefully one of them can jump up and grab the job. All right, Nate, what's next?
Next, we have to, as much as you might not be excited about it, we have to look back at last week's episode when we threw some over-unders your way.
Do we have to?
We do.
All right.
If this is going to be a bit, we have to.
Okay, fine.
All right, so we had a collection of four over-unders.
Yeah.
The one I'll start with is tackles for Eric Kendricks.
Yeah.
We had seen some positive things from Eric Kendricks, and I don't I don't think we've seen any negative things really to take away from that. But as far as stats-wise, we put the over-under at 5.5 tackles, and I couldn't blame you.
I took the over.
Taking the over.
Well, I mean, he's a middle linebacker. He's going to be around the ball. I guess maybe they were double-teaming him or something.
Maybe something like
that.
That
has to be it.
On the stat sheet, one tackle, but you can't deny that when he's out there, his presence is felt.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you like what you see so far from Eric Kendricks. Has he done everything perfectly? No, he hasn't done everything perfectly. He's a rookie learning a Mike Zimmer defense. I mean, good luck. There are going to be mistakes. So, but you like what you see so far from him. Clearly an athletic guy. And if he does indeed become one of the two nickel linebackers for Mike Zimmer as a rookie, I think that speaks volumes about how the team feels about him.
Okay, moving on. We took a stab at the opposition. We were looking at Amari Cooper, obviously a very promising receiver for the Oakland Raiders. A lot of action in his preseason debut with Oakland. So we thought maybe they'd get him the ball quite a few times. We put the over-under at 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
You took the over. Again, can't totally blame you.
And we shut him down.
We did. We shut him down. He touched the ball once.
And it should have been zero. I still don't think that was a catch. The deep pass on Terrence Newman. To me, the guy's coming down and he doesn't get both feet in. Ed Hockley, who is one of the better referees in the NFL, I'm sure, and his crew did not overturn the call. The call on the field was a catch. It was challenged, and they said that he got 2 feet in. Looked to me like it wasn't a catch. Terrence Newman agreed with me, but Terrence Newman was also in coverage, so I can see why he didn't think it was a catch. But it's neither here nor there. I lost.
Yeah,
so,
you weren't really that close because that would have been 2 touches if he had he had 2 targets.
So I was still wrong.
He would have had 2 tops. So yeah, you were still wrong. We'll move past this next one pretty quickly because you were actually right. We had plays for Babs. We had the over-under at 14.5.
Yeah.
You took the under, and you were correct in that. But the big one that I want to make sure everyone knows about.
Because I took a huge stand on
it. You did. Yeah. There was a stance. The over-under on minutes of weather delay on Saturday night. You were so confident we put the over-under at 0.5 minutes 30 seconds.
And
I think it was safely over.
Someone called me out on Twitter on that, too, by the way.
I saw that.
Oh, you did see it? Okay, good. Yeah, so the people are listening.
That's good.
They're not only just listening, but they're engaging now. They're tweeting at us about it.
That's good, and we welcome much more of that.
So I basically couldn't have been more wrong on the weather delay.
I guess if the weather delay was longer, you would have technically been more wrong, but you were pretty wrong. The weather delay was more or less 51 minutes.
So I'm like a rookie in the preseason. There's work to do. I flash a little bit. I got 1 right and 3 wrong. More work to do.
You
got to
start somewhere.
All right. Well, I challenge you and us to come up with more games because I don't want to go 1-for-4 anymore, and I want to play more games on here and have more success because 1-for-4 in the over-under debut is embarrassing. So we need to have more. And we can do that next time in our next edition of the Wobcast because we're going to have another one this week that dives a little bit deeper into Vikings-Cowboys. That's the Vikings' next preseason opponent. The game will happen on Saturday evening at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. Vikings and Cowboys this Saturday night. Don't miss it on the Vikings Radio Network or on Fox 9. And also don't miss our continuing coverage of your favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to be with you all week on Vikings.com, the Vikings Entertainment Network, producing great content all week leading up to the game. We'll be at the game giving you content from the game, and then we'll be back here at Winter Park after the game rehashing everything that happens. That's going to do it for this episode of the Wobcast. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. I'll talk to you next time.